Today, as we start the message, and I titled it, and you know me, I'm not one to always put a title, but perfect love casts out fear. Fear is a big deal. Fear is a big deal. You guys get what I'm saying? Fear is a big deal. Fear will stop you from doing what you need to do. Fear will paralyze you. It will. I would say this too. A lot of people, when they think of fear, according to the scripture, there's torment and fear. But as we look today, it is a powerful weapon. Am I right, guys? Mm-hmm. In the hand of Satan, fear is a powerful weapon in the hand of the enemy. He is such a liar, but he knows fear does a whole lot. Do you know what? Every time you're going to step out in faith in the things God asks you to do, one of the first things, and I can't speak for all of you in the sanctuary, but one of the first things that happens many times is the first thing that I come up against is fear. Fear that there might be a failure of what I'm about to do. Fear of things that maybe I don't understand. You know, what if this happens? What if that happens? In fact, fear does that. And it'll stop you from stepping out in faith. Fear will blur and deceive your perspective to the point of you will even see things of danger that are not there. I want to explain something to you. This is an important point. I want to read this again. Fear can blur and deceive your perspective even to the point of seeing things and dangers that are not there. I'm going to tell you right now, God is never moving in your life and drawing you to fear except the fear of the Lord. It's the only thing that's clean and enduring. The fear of man, the fear of this, the fear of that, it cannot be a motivator. And it's not like it's hard to understand what God says. If it's coming in fear, it's not for me. If you're getting fear and that's why you're moving, it didn't come from the Lord. That's not how he told you to step. Because it says there's torment in fear. Fear can even paralyze you from moving at all. I've seen people get so wrapped in fear, they could not move anymore. Oh, they were eating, they were drinking, they were sleeping, they were waking. But fear had brought them to a point of spiritual paralysis. It's interesting. There's an addiction to fear, I might add, too, that some people find fear. How would you say it, guys? They find it a buddy. In fact, I've seen people where they defend on fear more than they defend on faith. But fear can also, as we see with Israel many times, cause you to depend on things that are false, that are not from the Lord to protect you. Many times when we're in fear, we seek to fortify with things that don't come from God. Fear can drive you to make bad alignments. Fear can drive you to depend on your own flesh. Fear can drive you to depend on things that just aren't from the Lord. And anytime we do that, we're going to have problems. But when fear gets a grip, it's not like just seeing a scary movie. Actual fear is a lot wider than that. Fear, it'll mask itself many times as something that's okay. But fear has this ability to do things to you guys that you don't want to be done. Proverbs 29:25, I'm just going to read it, and this is really important. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. Okay, think about this for a second. When you fear man, and when you fear man in any sense, whether it's directly connected to someone, something, it says it's a snare. Now, a snare is something that would catch a bird because the bird, in fact, the snare was on the ground, not in the air. So you would get a snare, whether to catch an animal, whether to catch something, and it would be caught on the ground. And it would always be masked. Think about this. The fear of man is a snare. So when you fear man, you don't even realize that there is a snare hitting you. You can fear a threat to your social status. You can have a fear of your finances. You can have a fear of the possibility of a failure. Many, many years ago, I knew a man, decent guy, did not know the Lord, but a decent guy. He was a millionaire. And we had a tough year. This goes all the way back, guys, to the 70s, late 70s. And he was losing some money in his companies, and he made a calculation that he was under a million, and to him that was dangerous. Now, many of us in this room would say, 999,000, I'll take that bet, it's good with me, I can live on that. So he kind of made an estimation, took a revolver, stuck it to his chest, pulled the trigger. It was later found out that actually his accountant said he was going to bounce out. In fact, it was already on an upsurge, he wasn't going to lose everything at all. But fear of loss caused a perspective in him that not only was false, but actually brought him to the point of ending his own life. Can you imagine that? Being so afraid, not only seizing up, not only being paralyzed, but actually ending your life. And then after the fact, it's known that your perspective was actually wrong. You weren't seeing it correctly. Could you imagine that? But as crazy as that story seems, I've seen fear distort perception all the time. It may not be as major as that, but I've seen fear do that. It's an incredible thing. But here's one of the things, whether it's your possibility of failure, your finances, whether you can also get fear when your comfort zones are threatened. How many know about comfort zones? We like comfort zones. We like things to go the same way. I got to tell you something. I'm a comfort zone guy. I can do something the same way for 30 years and never bat an eye. And I remember many times in my walk as a Christian, I remember the Lord approaching me and really, you know, kind of to my heart saying, you know what? You can't be leaning on this. And you hate change, and yet I'm a God of change. In fact, I remember the Lord speaking to my spirit once and saying, you know, you don't like any change, and yet I've got a million I'm going to bring you through. So it is time to not fear the loss of a comfort zone. In fact, start to embrace change. Start to embrace what I'm doing, and don't worry that it always looks the same. And Christians do this all the time. We confuse it with stability sometimes. Another fact, fear is an emotion, is not necessarily based on the facts of a circumstance, but rather how you perceive a circumstance. Remember this. The basic fear we feel, it is an emotion. And again, like I said, that the problem with fear is it distorts many times or highlights a circumstance, and we look at it and we get a perception that is inaccurate. I want you to look at fear as one way of seeing things and faith as another way of seeing things. The eyes of faith is based on what it feels. You get hit with the fear, then usually a flood of thoughts start happening, and you start, as it hits you, you start thinking different things and worrying about different ends. And in fact, many times we see this. Faith is really just seeing with the eyes of God, and it is understanding that God is present, God is moving. Many times a person bound in fear operates solely on what he or she sees and what he or she thinks is going to happen. But I got to tell you something. As a believer, I can tell you, if you think you've got a grip on your circumstance and you're afraid of whatever, and if you think you understand how this is going to work out this way, you're dead wrong. Dead wrong. Many times when Christians try to deal with fear, they look for visible signs to encourage them so they aren't afraid. But faith will be one of the cures to fear. And this is really important. But here's the thing. Our lives can have areas that we harbor fear in, and we might even not really know it. You might be sitting here today, and there is something that you definitely fear. And maybe you're not coming against it today, so you don't really have to deal with that area or the fear of that area. But I can give you one promise. The great truth and the promises that you can count on as a believer, God has called you to live fear-free. Absolutely. God has called you to live fear-free. Because most importantly, fear isn't just something that stops you from, you know, doing some fun things. But really, the biggest problem with fear, it'll always get in the way of God's complete will. It will always cause a handicap to what God is trying to do. I have lived in my own life with much fear. I have seen many things, and I'm sure a great deal of you, there's things today that bother you. I'm sure there's things that you could get hit with, and there would be all kinds of fear. But I'm thinking of the scripture in 1 John 4:16, and I want you to go there with me, because there is a statement in there about fear that I really believe is critical to you guys. Can you imagine, as you get in a situation and you're looking at your life right now, and you're looking at whatever it is, maybe it's your finances, maybe it's your relationships, maybe it's your family, and you imagine you look at it and you see all that you can see with your eyes, you know, and you look at maybe negative circumstances, and in your mind you try to think of ways that could change. And yet, many times people talk about this very scripture we're about to read. But perfect love will cast out fear, and I want you to understand that today. And we're going to go to 1 John 4:16. One thing that's important is that we're honest and say, you know what, Lord? There's fear there. You may have a fear of rejection. You may have a fear of acceptance. You may have a bunch of fears. You may have a fear of the boogeyman or what's under your bed. Think about it. And I want to say this too. Where fear really gets a grip in your life, let me tell you something. Irrational thinking is usually soon to follow, and wrong thinking is usually soon to follow. So I believe we need to live fear-free. But if you don't believe it can happen, then you're going to have a problem. And I actually believe perfect love casts out fear. We're going to get into that today because the Lord spoke to me on this verse in 1 John, and I was working one day, and it just a light went on, and I was so blessed because we often talk about fear and how God wants to cure us from fear. And you hear statements like the opposite of fear is faith, and if you have faith, you won't fear. And as many sermons as I've heard about fear, most of the time, the preacher will try to just talk about all the great things God's capable of, and that's going to do it. And yet, a lot of people come into sanctuaries and they hear that, it doesn't do it for them. And then they get a little guilty and they say, you know, I should feel better because the Lord parted the Red Sea and there's nothing too hard for God. And why is it, though, I'm still gripped in fear? It says in John chapter 4, 1 John, verse 16, we're going to start. It says, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Perfect love casts out fear. Now I want you to look at something, because again, I've heard most of the time when people try to convince Christians of God's love, they just speak and preach on how much God loves them, how much he loves them, how much he loves them. But there's something really critical, and I want to give you some steps about this. It talks about, number one, their perfect love casts out fear, okay? And it says, the one who abides in love. And this is what I want to get into a little bit. Sometimes the cure to fear isn't simply just faith. It's a little deeper, and 1 John gives us an insight. It talks about abiding in love. It means moving where the love of God moves you to do. To say that I abide in God's love simply because God loves me, that necessarily doesn't speak of abiding. In fact, to say to abide in God's love is actually a reciprocity on my part. What's interesting about the average Christian, they treat the love of God in an interesting way. They just will tell people how much God loves them. But the love of God moves you into motion. And when we talk about casting fear and that perfect love, the love of God is gonna get fear out of us. I want you to think about this. It talks about abiding in love. And I'm gonna read 2 Corinthians 5:14. When I want to abide in the love of God, I got to know what that means. What does it mean, abiding in the love of God? Does it mean I'm going to sit here and give you 35 verses on how much God loves you? No, that's actually not an explanation. But the very object of God's love has a direction, and abiding it has a perimeter, it has a boundary. If I'm to abide in God's love, then the natural opposite would mean I cannot abide in God's love. I want you to think about something. As we're going to read 1 Corinthians 5:14, the reciprocity that love asks of us is critical. Listen, it says that God so loved the world. Let me ask you a question, rhetorical. Because God so loves the world, is everybody going to heaven? Absolutely not. Why? Because the love of God requires a response from the people, from the lost. The love of God towards the earth does the earth no good unless there is a reciprocity and a response from us to the love of God. Part of abiding in love that is going to cast out fear has to do with the control of the love that brings to us. And it has to do with us moving with that love. Otherwise, it's funny, most people treat the love of God, it's like they have John 3:16 without an explanation. For God so loves the world. A lot of Christian teachers will teach people that just telling them how much God loves them causes them to abide in the love. Think about how much he loves you. But actually, the love of Christ, there is a dynamic to it and abiding in it and responding to it that either causes you to be the beneficiary of that love or causes you to not benefit at all. Because God loves the world doesn't make the world go to heaven. God loves the world and he requires a response to that love. Well, let me explain something. God loves his people, but the love that he loves his people with can also require a response to that love. Now, this is critical in seeing fear cast out. Because abiding in love means you are moving with where that love is leading you. Otherwise, it's just like the world. Now, it's interesting. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." So one of the things that we know about abiding in the love, the response to the love is that we will be controlled by the love. And that control will be that we're no longer living for ourselves, but we're living for Jesus. Now, that isn't just a word we say, but God has a plan for each of our lives. As Christ saved me and loved me, I responded to that love, and that love began to control me. It began to control my actions. It began to control my ambitions. It began to control the plans of my life. So much so that I dropped a career. So much so that I went to Bible school. So much so that I've been to foreign countries teaching leaders in Christ. To abide in the love of God definitely means to move with the love and where it is going to lead you. This is not passive, but I understand why Christians get so upset, because all is many times we preachers do is we just give them a bunch of verse about how special they are. But telling you how special you are is one-sided, because there is a reciprocity. There is a response to love. And when you respond to the love of God, it can begin to cast out fear. The love of Christ wishes to control you, okay? Abiding in God's love, again, it's very important. In fact, if you've ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs, now I've lent that book to people and they've given it back and said, don't ever lend me a book like that again. It creeped me out because it is martyrs. It is full of people who died for the faith. Now, I got to tell you, we're going to die of heart disease in American Christians more than we're going to die of martyrdom. I mean, we're more in danger of eating the wrong thing. You know, we're not really in danger of being, you know, executed for Christ here. But many countries they are, and many countries even to this day they are. But when I read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you know what I read? I read people that would not deny Christ even on pain of death. And they were abiding in the love of God and where it was leading them. And it was leading them to declare Christ, which was also the result many times was martyrdom and death. You know, when I read it, and this is interesting, because you read books of the stories of martyrs who gladly went to death, fear-free. I don't know about you, but being burned at the stake is not even on my top 1,000 list of things I want to do before I go see Jesus. And I used to ask myself, Lord, how are they so strong? Because that's how I used to equate it. They're strong. They're stronger than me. They're stronger. They're different than we are. And later on, as the years went by, I realized they were controlled by the love of Christ. And perfect love cast out fear. Are you with me on this? But here's the other thing. Perfect love. Well, really, that term, to be perfected or perfect, doesn't mean without blemish. What it really means is when that love of God is able to guide you to where it is controlling you, that is perfect love. It is like the same thing when it says we are being perfected or this is perfect. It doesn't speak of with no flaw. But as we go in the direction that the love of Christ is controlling and leading us, and to abide in it is to move where it wants us to go. What does the love of Christ move you to? And I started realizing all the martyrs I read about, the reason many jumped on the woodpile and said, I'm ready to go. They weren't different than us. But the love of Christ was truly controlling them. That was it. And because the love of Christ was controlling them, because they were abiding, because part of abiding meant going where that love was leading them in their lives, they had no fear. They faced the most gruesome death with no fear. That was the secret. It wasn't that they had a strength that we never can have. It wasn't that they were super Christians. They were like you and me. And the love of Christ was controlling them. And that perfect love cast out fear. So when they faced the gravest possible outcome, Some jumped on the pile. Some even helped stack up the sticks to start to burn them alive. Now, in a normal room, people would say, you are weird, that is morbid, and you got to stop talking about that stuff. It just, I wanted to be encouraged today, and instead I got this bizarre imagery in my mind. But the imagery isn't about being burned. The imagery is about having no fear. Having no fear. Having no fear. Not fearing what is coming, not fearing what man can do, not fearing the punishment, not fearing the pain, but perfect love casting off fear because these people were abiding in God's love. See, there's a great thing, and you know, people can even hear this and sometimes go, no, I don't agree with that. But if you look in the scripture, it is extremely clear that when the word abide comes, you know what I'm saying? We need to abide in the love of God. We need to abide. The one who abides in love abides in God because God is love. So as God is moving your being in your life, he has a desire, he has a will, he has things he would ask of you. And I truly believe as the love of Christ controls us and we are abiding in that love, it begins to cast out fear. And many times we allow fear to not allow the love of God to guide us to the actions, to the places, to the decisions, and to the things that it's trying to lead us to. Many times we'll give some. You remember the old gospel song, I Surrender All? I used to joke with a friend and say that it should be I Surrender Some. But here's the interesting thing. Many times we deal with fear. It comes at us. And we have a hard time yielding. And the love of Christ wants to lead us. He desires to bring us to a place. And we'll kind of go to that place. But we'll kind of hold back. And there'll be a trepidation and an actual fear. I've seen this many times. But the fear is connected to the hesitation. That's where it gets its root. That's where it gets its strength. The fear is connected to the hesitation to really let the love of God just guide you to that place. And many times you're going, I got to lose this fear so I can go there. And the truth is, the hesitation in itself feeds the fear that stops you from going there. And many times we're praying backwards because we're saying, you know what, God's got to take this fear so I can step forward. But it's our hesitation to step forward that actually blocks. And therefore fear has a root, it has a foothold, and it stays in an area. Many Christians are a mixed bag of nuts. And I don't mean that in an insulting way, but we are a mixed bag of nuts because fear does control areas. It controls little pockets, it controls little things. And it stops us from truly experiencing the peace, the shalom peace of God. We don't even realize how much tension there is in the average life and how many things we fear. Even as I get up on a pulpit to preach something like I'm preaching today, I look and I say, you know, Lord, I think about my own life and I think about the things that fear has held me back from. And I go, Lord, you desire to give perfect peace. And you desire to flush out fear of every corner of my soul. You know, I've been asked many times, how deeply am I experiencing the love of God? And I said, well, many times to the degree that you allow God's love to control you and the love of Christ will be to the degree that you'll experience it. Because love asks something of us. That's one of the tricks. Love isn't some general goo of emotion that we simply feel. Love has direction. Love has control. The love of Christ absolutely wishes to control you in all areas. But our holding back will always cause a foothold of fear. You know, it's interesting. We can hold back in so many areas and do it our way. And let me tell you something. I've done plenty of that. I know every believer has had so many things in their life where you feared something. It wasn't like this ferocious fear that you hid under the covers, but you had a fear, just a sliver in an area. And Christ really wanted to guide you a little bit differently than what you were doing, but you protected yourself, at least you thought you were, and as you protected yourself, you protected your fear. I remember being in a hotel in Vietnam, and I remember looking through the peepholes, somebody banged aggressively on the door. I looked at my watch, it was 12:04. And you know, you think a lot of things because, let me tell you, you're not in Kansas when you're there. There's not a darn thing familiar. And it can be a black hole if you disappear. And I do remember looking through, and immediately I see soldiers. That bothers me. You know, they shouldn't be at my hotel at 12:04. And the fear just so strong tried to hit me. It tried to hit me just to say, you know what, you're done. Whatever you thought you were going to do, you're done. And I remember just it trying to grip me, and I said to myself, you know, in my mind, am I ready for this? Am I ready for torture? Am I ready for whatever comes? The first thing I asked myself. Second thing I asked, did I kiss my wife before I left? That was another question I asked myself. What did I say to my kids? All these things. It's weird how it runs through your mind in a millisecond. But then the Lord prompted me and said, you know, here you are across the world in Asia doing underground stuff, and my love has guided you here. So the outcome will be of me. And I asked my partner what to do. There's a rule there. Don't open the door. You can't welcome them in. They won't necessarily kick it down the way it's set up. And having peace in those moments is important, because you got to think when you do anything, am I willing to die for the thing I'm doing? Can I, the love of God guide me to the point where could it be that that love guides me to a place where I'm being martyred? The early Christians saw this a lot. They settled this issue a lot. But we live in a democracy. Thank God for that. We live in a free country where you can proclaim, we're going to all sit here. We worship in this sanctuary today. Nobody has a threat of any kind of legal ramification or even a threat to their health of being here. But this is the point I'm getting into, that abiding in his love. And that love wishes to guide you, and many times that is going to break the fear. But the love of Christ controls us. The love of Christ guides us. The love of Christ is active. But I pray there's an insight here for you, because many times we just try to convince ourselves of how special we are and how much God loves us, and somehow, and I see many Christians do that, they don't come out of those sermons really freed up from fear, because the love is trying to do something. It's trying to guide them somewhere. And abiding in it is really one of the, what you would call the prerequisite to see perfect love cast out fear. Love wants to have the fullest expression in your being. The love of Christ is going to guide you, lead you, change you, cause things to happen. And it's going to be beyond fear. Any area today that may be a hard area for you, where you go, you know what, that's a snag. I get snagged with fear in this area. Jesus, in that love of Christ, wants to guide you in that area in a specific way. And there's going to be a release in that area of fear. But you need to let go, and you need to be guided, and you need to let go, and you need to abide. But to abide means to stay within the perimeters of that love. And it's interesting, because reciprocity to the love of God is all through the scripture. The need for mankind to respond to the love of God is all over the scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. It's interesting that reciprocity, the need to respond, isn't taught. In fact, there are doctrines where people, if you said what I'm saying, they would rebuke you and say, that's not how it works. There's nothing I can do. And what's interesting is I hear so many claims from so many people that stand behind pulpits, many times don't have a clue what they're talking about, because it's in the scripture. You know what's interesting? You imagine being with somebody that you know, you abused them, but you always told them when they asked you, you know, do you love me? Of course I love you. But you and they loved you, and you never responded to their love, meaning you weren't faithful. You didn't have to enter into a covenantal relationship with them. Everything in even our life in Christ shows us the needed reciprocity to God's love. Everything points to it. What's interesting, though, is we have a generation, and there is much pride, and there's much rebellion in the body of Christ, and many men, they have shaped a truth that's not a truth at all, and they experience a love that requires no reciprocity. They experience a love that's just some sloppy agape, and it's all over them. They don't need to respond. Can you imagine being in a relationship where a person didn't respond to your love? Would you even be married? Would you even be in a relationship if someone didn't respond to your love? Think about this. But there's a secret here today for us. And it says, perfect love cast out fear. Now, here's the interesting thing, just in thinking about this. It starts talking about loving your brother, right? And you can't love God whom you haven't seen if you hate your brother whom you have seen. That sounds like pretty solid logic to me. But is the focus simply on just loving your brothers? Or is the focus that The love of God moves you to love another. Well, I would say it's both, because it's important to love the brother whom you have seen, because you can't love God whom you haven't seen if you don't love the brother whom you have seen. But it gets deeper than that. It's speaking of love moving us to do something. You know, it says, it's because Christ forgave us, you know, whoever sins against you, forgive them, just as Christ forgave you. In fact, even in the Lord's Prayer, you'll find, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, the Father will not forgive you. That's not only a reciprocity of how we're supposed to respond to the love, but that response has to come into the real world and our relationships and the people we deal with. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. You know what's interesting? When you have fear in an area of your life and God wants to purge it, it isn't just something you feel a little bit. It punishes you. It actually punishes you. This is the sad thing about fear. Fear is a tormentor. If fear is in an area of my life, if there's something that God asks of me but I'm afraid to do it, it actually is a form of punishment. It'll wind your insides up like a tight spring, and you won't feel a freedom. You will feel wound up, and you will be punished in that area. Imagine that. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. Now, that is the scriptural guideline. Now, here's the interesting thing. The one who fears is not perfected in love. And really what that means is not about absolute perfection, but love of God requires you to respond, and there is a guidance to the love of God, to the places it wants to take you. And what's really critical about this is being perfected in love is moving with it. If I'm moving with the love of God and I'm allowing it to guide me in my life and where it is taking me, it is perfected in me, because it's having its way. This is really critical. But here's the other thing. As the Spirit of God wishes to lead you, and we begin to move with the love of God, and we begin to understand reciprocity, and we realize that we're not like the world. The world doesn't love God. God loves the world, but the world still goes to hell unless it responds to that love. Now, many times, I've said it myself, all you got to do is this, but I'm not real big on that anymore when I talk about Jesus to people, because actually the Lord requires things of the people that come to him, big time. We have many times made the narrow gate that Jesus says is narrow, we made it wide. And it's not, it's narrow. Narrow is the way that leads to salvation. Narrow is the gate that leads to life. This is really, really important, but we have to be better than the world. The world does not love God, and God loves the world, but yet the world without salvation responding is absolutely not benefited by the love. This is the part that's really important in having fear cast out and perfect love casting out fear. The world doesn't receive any of the benefits from the love of God unless the people in the world respond to that. I want you to get that word reciprocity in your mind. There are things and places God wants to guide you today in your life. But there may very well be a fear, a fear. You know, there are people God calls to preach and they have a fear of standing in rooms being watched. There are people that God's called to sing, but they fear someone might not like their voice. There are people that God has called out to the mission field, but they fear the threat of their life being lost or the dangers. But here's a beautiful thing. If you're a believer today, God never, ever uses fear to guide you. And if you have fear, but I want to get into this. Sometimes these areas we cling to, and we want our own desires and we want our own things, We pursue a course that is selfish, and because of it, fear actually gets a foothold. And like I said before, there are times we've got to let go. We've got to let go, because God wishes to cast out fear. I've seen people, in fact, this is a big one with many human beings, we fear being alone, don't we? And I've seen people do the most atrocious things in all the vein of fearing to be alone. We fear giving because we like the money we make. I've seen it so many times. I've seen people hold back from giving because there's a fear. It's not God guiding them in that. It's that they're afraid. And as we close today, I want you to think about something about the reciprocity that is needed to the Father. You look at the sinner's prayer, remember? Acknowledge you're a sinner. Confess that, you know, Jesus was raised from the dead and died for you. And then it says you confess Jesus is Lord, which Lord means master. You're going to be under the control of Jesus. Even the simple sinner's prayer. Repent of your sins. It's interesting. To most people, if you said, what does repent mean? They would say, saying I'm sorry. And no, it's wrong. Repenting actually means to turn, to rethink, to do things differently. That's why so many times in the world without Christ, people say they're sorry, and sorry means a lot. And in fact, many people get frustrated. They go, I said I was sorry, not even understanding that really the true version of sorrow that's of God is repentance, and repentance is a turning and a rethinking. And if you rethink something, you might do it different. And that's a good thing for any of us. But as we close today, I believe that fear will attempt to come at you in so many ways. But fear isn't always a lack of trust. Fear many times is a lack of yielding. Hear me out on this. Fear isn't always a lack of trust. A lot of people think, I got to trust more, that's why I fear. You might have to yield more to where the love of God is trying to lead you. That actually may be the root of the fear. And where there's a lack of yielding, fear will always be existing. Always. Do you understand what I'm saying, guys? And this is how these doors open. But I love it that perfect love casts out fear. And I love this because there are great feats God's going to ask of you. And I really believe that as He does, it's going to require you to release to whatever that thing He's asking you to do, whatever stepping out He's asking you to do. And as you do that, let me tell you something. The fear will be eradicated in the area you're stepping out in. But until you release, you're going to have a hard time with it. But let's all stand today. We're going to pray. Perfect love casts out fear. I want you to cling to that promise today. Perfect love casts out fear. And I want you to be able to minister that back to people too, because this is really critical. Think about this. Father, even today, as we stand here, I love that it says, perfect love casts out fear. Lord, I have felt fear many times in my life. I think everybody in this room has had an area or something. And Lord, you desire to eradicate fear in the Christian. Lord, there's a healthy thing that says, you know, don't jump off a building because you can't fly. Don't jump in the middle of a highway because traffic is zooming. You will probably get hit by a car. But that's not really fear. That's common sense. And there is a healthy, if we could call it healthy, warning about certain things. But is what we preach about today. It's about really, even as Lord, the Apostle John was talking, you know, people hated their brothers whom they had seen. The love of God did not affect the way they treated each other. And in your book, that doesn't work. They feared the unknown and they attacked the unknown. I pray today as we are closing, Father, I pray as we are closing that we would be a fear-free people. Lord, it's easy to look at a circumstance, and when we see it, it makes us afraid. Lord, we've all wrestled, and it will come to us, and there will be. The enemy will hit us directly to fear, whether it's family issues, whether it's finances, whether it's ministry or steps that ministry would ask us to take. There will always be the counter punch of fear. But I truly believe the believer can have a boldness. Lord, I don't look at Fox's Book of Martyrs and see these super Christians that are, you know, they're different. We could never have what they have. That's ridiculous. I look at it as people that were yielded to you and your love guided them. And where you guided them, there wasn't going to be fear because perfect love cast out fear. I pray release today because there is punishment, there is torment and fear. And we don't want that for any of ourselves. We don't want it for each other. We want to see the Christians set free. Lord, many of us spent our younger years in Christ afraid of your will, afraid of what you would ask of us, afraid of what you wanted from us. And it's so unfounded to fear you. In fact, there's other things we should have more fear of ourselves and a trust of ourselves than we should ever have fearing you taking care of us, and you looking after our welfare. I thank you today, Father, that we will not let those ruts get into us, and we will be ready to fight whatever you ask. Lord, I thank you that too, like a gentle father, Many times you pull us into areas and new things. And you give us a boldness. Lord, even now as we are closing in prayer, maybe there's a part that just says, yeah, but look at this situation and you got this and you got this. And you... It's funny, Lord, even as we attempt to let your love guide us and we break free from the punishment of fear, fear will often try to come back and say, you need me, but we don't need fear. We need faith. We need you. Lord, I pray a release even in this country, because Lord, in this country, many times it's a real mild fear that stops the Christian from speaking his or her mind, stops the Christian from just living the way that you desire them to. Many times we fear social rejection or, you know, ostracization because we're believers, and even those little fears causes us at times to be more quiet than we should be, causes us to, you know, pass up times where we would have us declare our faith. But you've called us to be free from all fear. So I pray this morning as we're closing, Holy Spirit, you would move on everybody in this sanctuary. We pray for a divine touch, whether we feel it right now or don't feel it, that your glory would move upon us in powerful ways, because we want to walk as freedmen. We are not slaves. We are not bonded. We are your bond slaves, but we will not be servants to any fear. Lord, I pray one more thing. Put faith and give vision to us. Lord, many times when I look at my life and the challenges that I see, like anybody, I look at what I can see with my eyes, what I can figure out in my mind, but that would be ridiculous because, God, you are the unseen X factor. How can we possibly understand the width and the scope of our situation when we are sons and daughters of God? Bless us this day as we go. Lord, peace is not overrated. It is desperately needed to increase in your saints in this country. Lord, let the peace of God needs to guide our hearts. It needs to guide our minds. It needs to guide our decisions. I pray a blessing today. As we go from your release, I pray release in everybody, anybody that has even been oppressed by the devil, that has been oppressed demonically with fear and a spirit of fear. I just pray release right now, that the foothold would be broken, that the foothold would be broken in the name of Jesus. For those who would watch us and would watch this sermon, that they would even now, that you would begin to break off with your power, with your anointing in the name of Jesus, every spirit of fear, every impulse of fear in the name of Jesus, that we can walk boldly, that the viewer can walk boldly and start to walk in even a newfound freedom. Greater than even what they've known, a newfound freedom in the name of Jesus. We are believing God. We are believing God today for those miracles. Simply pray in the name of Jesus. The name above all names. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.